Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So, stay tuned for tonight's special report on the private business stories. Right after this. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. These benefits, things like rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush, when he was running for president, said, "What Americans want is jobs, jobs, jobs." But you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognized that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It is not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. There's no money in public business, and there's no money in jobs, jobs, jobs. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I cash in on our inheritance and learn how to collect the benefits of that old covenant contract and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property, which is the opposite to credit, debt, usury, inflation, and worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on our CD Home School for Adults? That's our business school. And while you're at it, why don't you ask for our free general law CD package at the same time? Doesn't cost you anything. The CD package is free. You can download it off of our internet, our webpage. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free of charge. Doesn't cost you anything. The number to call now is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. That's georgegordon.org. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of your home business as a business deal. Is your home as a business deal profitable, or is it a loss? And surprisingly, it's a loss. It's a $90,000 loss on a $50,000 house. If you buy a bigger, better house, then it costs you even more. And so if you're looking for a loss, buy a home, pay interest, and when you get through paying the interest, you'll have a neat loss over 30 years. In fact, if you were to buy a $50,000 house and lose $90,000 on it, it's about 2-to-1. If you lost $100,000 on it, you'd be losing 200%. You're not going to lose 200%, but it's out past 180. I mean, it's a dead loss. You'll do better burning airplane gas, and you'll have more fun. So if you want to chase girls, burn airplane gas. I'd recommend that over buying a house 2-to-1 any day of the week. Now, I'm not here to tell you that you should not buy a house. If that's what you want to do in life, hey, get after it. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But listen, have you been watching this international real estate meltdown? I mean, it's not just here in the United States. Have you looked at Dubai, Spain, and Ireland, Great Britain? Can you name any country in the world where these real estate deals are making anybody any money? No, that ought to be your first tip-off that maybe this real estate thing isn't as good as we thought it was. Now, if you're anything like I was, my Aunt Bessie, my granny, my dad, everybody told me. They all bought houses like this. I don't deny it. People have been out here buying houses, you know, for 10% down, making the payments for 30 years, you know, for a long time, at least all of my life. Now, the question arises, well, did they make any money on it? Well, they thought they did. And it's a deception, and it's one of the grandest deceptions, I think, that's ever come along. There are some big deceptions out there. Social Security is one of them, but Social Security is a piker compared to this American dream, owning your own home. Social Security is a loss. You know, if you're a low-income earner, and you're making minimum wage, and you do that for 40 years and pay into Social Security, for every dollar you pay in, you will get 68 cents back. So you're going to lose about one-third. If you're a blue-collar worker and you pay in $2.56, you'll get back about $1.13. It's a little over 60, 70 cents loss, percent loss. The big loss, which is about 80%, comes to you college people, you know, the guys that have all the degrees and make all the money, that $100,000 a year. Well, if you're in the top income level and you're making $38 an hour, you're paying in the maximum tax. And the maximum tax for 45 years is $525,000, for which you're going to get back, if I remember this right now, it's about $125,000 or $130,000. You're going to pay in $250,000 and get back $100,000. You pay in $250,000 if you're a blue collar worker, and you get back $100,000. Cost you $150,000. But if you pay in $525,000, if I remember right, you pay back about $125,000. Let me work it out here. You're going to get $1,200 a month times 120 months. $144,000. You get paid back $150,000 out of $525,000. You get paid back $150,000. Hey, I wouldn't say that's a ripoff, but it's not the best deal out in the marketplace, is it? Now, housing is worse than that. Housing, when you buy a house on time, you run up against a thing here called the Rule of 72. So gather around your boys and girls, I'm going to teach you how to count. Now, I couldn't count until I was 37, but when somebody sat down with me and said, "Hey, Gordon, let me show you how to count." I said, "I don't need you to teach me how to count. I went to high school. I got my GED, you know. I'm pretty damn smart. I got a GED. And he said I couldn't count, and so he said, "Let me show you how to count." Boy, I haven't been the same since. So let me see if I can show you how to count. Because if you're buying a house and you're making payments on that house, you're losing your hiney, and you don't know it. And I showed you in the last program, I said the worst thing that happens here is a guy buys a house for $50,000, sells it for $250,000. He, honest to God, believes he made a $200,000 profit, or at least $150,000. And he really lost $90,000 plus. And that's because of this Rule of 72. Now, when God told you not to practice usury and interest, he wasn't whistling Dixie. See, he could count, and he did the arithmetic up front. And by doing the arithmetic up front, he could see that over time, this thing's going to lose money. Now, here's the way this works. You take the interest rate. I don't care what very simple rule here. Doesn't make any difference what the interest rate is. And then you divide that into 72. I'm not quite sure why 72 is the magic number. 75 doesn't do it, 130 doesn't touch it, 36 won't give you the answer, but 72 always does. So you take 72 and you divide that. Now let's just do that. Remember, we have a house, and we're going to take the interest rate, and the interest rate is 6%, and divide that into 72. Okay, here's 72 divided by 6, and we get 12. Now here's what that 12 means. That means that the principal that you're paying is going to double every 12 years. So if you get a $50,000 loan, and then you're paying 5% on it, in 12 years, you're going to double the amount that you owe. Isn't that special? 5% interest, 6% interest doubles every 12 years. 5% interest doubles every 14.4 years. Take your credit card debt. Let me show you. This is a good one. Know your Discover card? The one that only charges 15%? The real good card. I'm not talking about those sloppy, no good seconds cards, you know, that's out there at 26, 28, 30%, just 15%. Take 72, divide that by 15. Every 4.8 years, or round numbers, it's every 5 years, the debt doubles. So if you got a $10,000 debt on your credit card and you're paying the minimum, in 5 years, you will owe $20,000. You got that? You owe $10,000 today. Make the minimum payments at 15% interest, and in 5 years, you'll owe $20,000. Now, many people out there today are using their credit cards to buy their groceries. You know, they go to McDonald's and they swipe their card, and they're just buying and buying and buying with credit, and they can't count. None of them have ever read the terms and conditions of their credit card contract. I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again. Go down and get your credit card contract. You can't read it without having a 10 power loop. So go down to your coin dealer and tell him you need a 10 power loop. Cost you $30. Now you're armed. You're ready to go. Now you're ready to do some legal business. You sit down and read that. And if you say to yourself, I would go down and get a credit card again after having read this contract, your IQ is below the speed limit. You'd have to be in a mental institution to come to that conclusion after reading that contract. If you've got a credit card, I'll guarantee you, you didn't read the contract, because if you'd have read the contract, you'd have never signed up for that. You do not have to have a Rhodes Scholarship. You don't have to have, you know, an MBA from Harvard to read one of those contracts. It's got some convoluted clauses, and it's got some hard-to-be-understood words. I don't deny that. But, hey, listen, the parts of it that are just plain English, when you get through reading that, now that's going to sober you up, partner. I mean, you could be out on an all-night binge, and you read one of those credit card contracts, that'll sober you right up. I guarantee it. All right, now, when you apply this rule of 72 to your credit card debt or to the payments that you're making on your big-screen TV, or to your house payments and so on, you are insolvent, partner. You're not going to be able to settle this debt. And if you could, it's going to impoverish you. If you're able to service the debt, it'll keep you broke for the rest of your life. I think you'd do better practicing 2, 3, 4 wives. Now, you talk about expense. You know, women are expensive. Airplanes are expensive. But hey, this usury is even more expensive. And then like as not, when you buy your airplane, you'll be buying it on time, paying interest, and then you're trying to burn airplane gas at the same time. Well, I'll tell you, that's a tough one. Now, I wasn't trying to make payments on my airplane. I was burning up airplane gas, but I wasn't making payments on the plane. And I burned up a lot of gas. I didn't make any money at it, but I had a hell of a good time. And my objective was to live hard, die young, and leave beautiful memories. I ain't died yet, but I lived hard, and I hope I'll leave a lot of beautiful memories. Now, I woke up one day at age 37. I said, hey, I got to learn how to count, and I did, and I stopped paying interest. Just stopped. I said, this is the end of this. I ain't doing that no more. When I got off the interest thing over there, then I could start accumulating some real wealth. You know, like wheat, corn, beans, honey, oil. Property. Real wealth. One of the first things that we have to do when students come in here to class and they go through our business school is get them up to zero COD. I always ask them to come in. I said, how many of you people are debt-free? And they look at you like, what's that? Never heard of debt-free. Debt-free. That's COD. Free and clear. COD. Now, if you're in debt, then we have to get you out. Now, sometimes it'll take a year or two to get you out of debt. So for that first year or two, you can forget about making any money. The first thing we got to do is to get you out of debt to put you in a position where you can make some money or gain some wealth. It doesn't have to be money. You know, I'm not here to work for money. Money is really, in my view, a poor way to count your wealth. I think that it's better if you counted in acres of land, head of cattle, sheep, ounces of gold, bushels of wheat, tons of beans. You know, what do you actually own? What are you in possession of? If you talk to most people, they don't own jack squat. Let's try it. Let me ask you this. Do you own your house? You know, it's either yes or no. I own my home or I don't. You own your car? Do you have any gold or silver? Do you have any wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil? And if you do, is it bought and paid for, or have you got a futures contract or something here? I have people come in here and they say, well, I've got some futures contracts. You know, I've got some equitable interest in some real property and one thing and another. They'll show you your balance sheet. And they come down and they say, well, I own an apartment house and three houses, and I've got this car, and I've got this house, and I've got this and that and another thing. And you take a look, and they say, well, it's worth this amount, and they put the numbers out here, and they say, well, here's what I owe against it, and they subtract that, and here's my net. This is my net equitable interest. They don't own anything. They have an equitable interest in a whole bunch of stuff, and if at any time they miss their payments, it gets taken away from them, and then they're flat-ass broke. And that's where Americans are today, trying to pay for all this real estate that they were trying to buy on time and then flip and make profit and one thing and another. I'm going to show you how to buy distressed property and sell it and make money on it. I mean, it's a good deal. I'm not telling you not to. I was in the contracting business for many years, and I used to buy houses, renovate them, and sell them. I could turn one about every 90 days. You know, you buy it for $15,000, sell it for $30,000. And you had your cost of goods sold, and you made $5,000 in 90 days. You know, in 1970, that was a good deal. Houses in those days, you know, tricked out, would sell for $30,000. You could buy them. Bob Maurer bought one on 98th Avenue for $6,800. It was a dog. He made a little money on it, not a whole lot. He had to replumb three times. The vandals had come out there and rip stuff out and spray paint the siding and stuff like that. Bad neighborhoods, you know, are bad neighborhoods, but there's a little money to be made, and I don't deny it. But when you're paying usury and interest, oh, my God, it not only eats up all your profit, it puts you in the hole. And that's what I showed you last time. Now, I'm going to tell you a story here about my brother Jim. At the same time that I bought this house in 1955 for 30 years, you know, and lost $90,000 on it, my brother Jim, he took the same $5,000. We're both working at Mutual Plywood, you know, over in Samoa. And, you know, if you just took two guys working at Mutual Plywood, 1955, $1,000 a month, buying a $50,000 house, which in those days was a pretty splashy house, I got to tell you. So you're going to buy this splashy $50,000 house. After all, you deserve it. You're making $1,000 a month. $300 a month payments is what you're going to be paying on this house for the next 360 months. But my brother Jim takes the same amount of money, and he just buys silver for 30 years. He's just going to buy silver for 30 years. While I'm buying house payments, he's going to be buying silver. Let's see who comes out the best in this business transaction. If I buy a house for $50,000 and my brother buys $50,000 worth of silver between 1955 and 1985, who's going to come out better? Now, we saw the $90,000 plus loss that comes from buying a house on a 30-year contract. So let's look at 30 years in silver, shall we? All right, get your pen and paper out here, and let's write this down. 1955, my brother Jim takes $5,000 and goes down and buys 5,000 silver dollars at par value, dollar for dollar. I take $5,000 and I pay that down on the down payment of my house. From 1955 to 1967, 13 years of payments at $297 a month, for 12 times 13 is $46,332. Now the next 17 years on my house transaction is payments. Got that? Now $297 a month invested in silver for 13 years is $45,000 plus $5,000. That gives my brother Jim $50,000, which is the purchase price of the house. So in the same 13 years, my brother Jim, just working at the same job, paying his rent every month, taking $300 a month, and sticking it into silver. He ends up, get this, he ends up with the whole $50,000 paid for in 13 years, and I don't have but a precious little bit of equity, and I'm paying $300 a month for 360 payments. Now, remember, $297 a month invested in silver for 13 years is $50,000. At the end of the period, the silver is worth 10 times what he paid for it, $500,000. Yeah. See, my house was worth $250,000. I just took these numbers right off the internet. If you bought a house in 55 and sold it in 85, it was worth five times what you paid for it on average nationwide. Some places higher, some places lower. On average, five times. But if you bought silver from 1955 to 1967, held it for 30 years, in 1985, it was worth 10 times what you paid for it. My profit was $45,000, which equaled four cars. Remember, two 1955 Chevys, one 1956 Buick, and one 1957 Oldsmobile. That was my break-even point. Now, my brother's profit was $500,000 gross, less $50,000 for his cost of goods, which equals $450,000. That's called gross profit, less 28% capital gain tax. That's $126,000, which leaves him $324,000 divided by $11,000 per car equals 30 cars, which is one car a year, which is exactly what should have been his savings every year. Now I know you're going to say, but where did he live? Okay, write this down. You take the 17 years interest, $62,100, because when I bought this house, you know, $45,000 of it is financed at interest, $5,000 is cash down, $62,100 is the interest payments over the 30-year period. He's not paying any interest on his silver, so we take the $62,000, and then that divides out to $172 a month to pay for his apartment. That's 145 month savings to build his own home for $25,000. You got that? 145 months of savings, and he can build a house for $25,000. Which is half the price that I'm paying for this house. I mean, he can have a carpenter build it for him. Now, if he builds it himself, it's only going to cost him $12,500, and he'll pocket the other $12,500 or build two houses. So at the same time that he's saving his silver, he ends up with $324,000 in silver and two houses. How do you like that? Hey, these bankers have a hell of a scam going. And the people who participate in it, honest to God, believe they're making money. Now, you have to educate these people in public school. You have to dumb them down. I don't deny that. So you send them to public school, they can't count, and then you sell them on the American dream, they go out and buy the house, they pay 10% down, they make their payments for 30 years, they buy a house for $50,000, sell it for $250,000, believe they made a $200,000 profit, when in reality they had a $90,000 loss. They brag it up and tell you how much money they're making. I don't want to dampen or rain on anybody's parade, but, you know, you didn't have to buy silver. You could be buying and selling houses or widgets or whatever you wanted, but you can't pay interest. If you believe that you can pay interest and make money, you know, you're a nice guy, but you can't count. Now, again, the rule of 72 comes into play. Divide the interest rate, and that tells you how often it doubles. So when you're out here buying a Big Mac, you know, and instead of paying for it, you at least discharge it. You know, you probably can't pay for it, but you should at least discharge. Now, you people are buying this on credit. You're buying it on time, paying interest. And, you know, you go in here for dinner, and it's going to cost you $20. And when you finance this thing over 5 years, it's going to cost you $40 for dinner, twice as much. And most of you people out there are not paying your credit cards off every month. That's most of you. Now, some people do. And God love you, you people that are paying your credit cards every month, boy, you guys really, really have character. I tried that. I had 28 credit cards. I maxed them all out. I couldn't handle credit at all. I was like a heroin addict. You know, I was like Bill Clinton in a whorehouse with a credit card. I couldn't handle it. And so I gave up on credit cards. I don't have any. And I quit dealing in them. I couldn't deal with credit. When I'd walk into a store with a credit card in my pocket, I couldn't control myself any more than Bill could in the whorehouse. All right, so that's where that's at. Now, my brother saved silver. He could save gold. He could save widgets. He could save anything. As long as he's not paying interest, he's going to make something. And if you want to make a $1,000 purchase with a 20% tax rate, first of all, you got to make $1,250. Because, see, the government takes $250 of it. That leaves you with $1,000 to buy a car or something else. Now, watch what happens. When each person in due course of buying, selling, and trading pays his 20% tax, by the eighth person in line, the government has made the whole $1,000. By the 28th person, the government has made the whole $1,250. Now, you had to earn that in the first place, remember? This is a good deal for government, but is it a good deal for you? Now, think about this, because when you're out here working and you're paying income tax and Social Security, those two taxes alone will take from you one-third of everything you create and produce. And that's not all the taxes you pay. You got 14 to pay, but if you just pay those two out of 14, that's one-third. You know, you got to be pretty wealthy to go out here and give somebody a third of everything that you create and produce and then live on the other two-thirds. Now, I know that that's what they told you to do because that's the American dream. You know, it's to go to college and get a degree and go out in the marketplace, get a profession, go to work so that you can make money. Now, what this really boils down to, it is true that you professionals, on average, live better than the blue collars and the poor people that are in the society. But a professional person is a cash cow for government. The purpose for sending you to college is to put you into a public business profession so that we can milk you like ants milk aphids on a leaf. And then it works like a shot. Now, if you're happy with the program, well, you know, stick with it. But I took a look at it and I said, now, wait a minute. Hang on a second. Here I am making $38 an hour, paying in the maximum Social Security payment. At the end of 45 years, I'm going to be paying in here, it's $11,638 a year. So if you take $11,638 times 45, $523,710. You know, it's about 5 1/4. It's $500,000. You know, that's pretty big bucks. Now listen to this. If you had that same $500,000, just picture this. You're a real estate broker. Instead of paying your Social Security tax, instead you take the same amount of money and you buy U.S. savings bonds that pay 5% interest. At the end of 45 years, do you know how much money you're going to have? Well, it doubles at 5% every 14 years. So, let's take 72 divided by 5%, and it's 14.4 years. Take 45 years divided by 14.4, and it's 3.125. So it's going to double three times. So when you take your money and you invest it at 5%, in 14 years, your investment doubles. And then it's going to double three times. Boy, that's really something. Let me show you a little something here about arbitrage. Get your pen and paper out. Take a new page. Let me show you what arbitrage does. Let's take 1 ounce of gold. Today it's worth about $1,200. Take it down to any gold broker, put it on the counter, and say silver. Can you say silver, boys and girls? And today he'll give you about 65 ounces of silver. Take the 65 ounces of silver home, bury it in a hole in the ground, forget about it. Sit back and wait until the ratio drops to 16 to 1. And that's because silver right now is undervalued and gold is overvalued. And three times in the 20th century, gold-silver ratio went from 100 to 1 to 16 to 1. Three times. 1919, 1942, 1980. Now, it'll do it three times in the 21st century. It does. About every 35 years, the ratio will drop to 16 to 1, which is exactly where it belongs because there's 16 times more silver in the Earth's crust than there is gold. Now, when the ratio drops to 16 to 1, take your 65 ounces of gold and take it back to the same gold broker, put it on the counter and say, gold! Can you say gold, boys and girls? Take the 65 divided by 16, and he will give you back 4 ounces of gold. Now, you haven't made any dollars, but you multiplied your 1 ounce of gold to 4 ounces of gold, so you have 3 ounces of gold net profit. Now, hang on to that gold until the price of gold and silver reaches a ratio of 65 again. Then take your 4 ounces of gold back into the gold broker, put it on the counter, say, silver! You know, 4 ounces of silver. And what are you going to get? Well, 4 times 65. 260 ounces. Now take the 260 ounces back in. When the ratio goes back to 16 to 1, divided by 16, then you'll end up with 16 and a quarter ounces. Now you have multiplied this from 1 to 4 to 16. Haven't you? Remember that parable in the Bible where God gives this guy 10 talents, and he gives another guy 5 talents, and he gives another guy 1 talent. And he says, now occupy until I come. And he comes back, and one guy got the 10. He says, I've multiplied this to 20. The guy that got 5 multiplied to 10. The guy that had 1 said, well, I was kind of nervous about you, so I dug a hole, and I stuck it in the hole in the ground and didn't invest it. I didn't practice jack squat. The boss said to him, hey, you, the guy with 10, and you multiplied it, be you ruler over 10 cities, and hey, you, the guy that you'd multiplied yours to 5, you be ruler over 5 cities, and you, the guy that gave 1 to, take it away from that guy and give it to the guy with 10. He knows what to do with it. He makes a profit for me. He can count. Hey, I'm at the halfway point here, so let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's 8 schools and all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners, and these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors and publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about houses right here. How to count, rule of 72. I'm going to show you how to build a house here. My wife years ago wanted to build a house. Now, building a house is a pretty good sized project. Contractors, when they go out to build a house, you know, a modest house, 1,500 feet, something like that, two bedrooms, you know, maybe a bath or two. If you set out to build a house, it would take you and a helper, a carpenter now. This is a guy who knows what he's doing. It would take you and your helper about 90 days to build a house from scratch. 120 days, 4 months, you know how to do it up brown. That means that a contractor, a carpenter, could build about 3 houses a year. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether you're building these houses back in 1927 and selling them for $7,000 a piece, or whether you're building them in the 1950s, 60s, or 70s and selling them for $35,000 a piece, or you sell them today for $300,000. Those are just numbers that come out based upon the inflation at the time. The ratio of cost and profit always remain the same. And the reason for that is it takes just as much time, effort, and energy to build a house today as it always has. I know we got better saws and stuff, you know, and we got skill saws and power tools and one thing and another. But hey, listen, you know, if you take a look at the price of gold today, and you take a look at the amount of gold that's been mined and is being mined and so on, there's very little difference in the price of gold and silver in relationship to the labor that it takes to get it out of the ground. It takes the same amount of labor to get it out of the ground today as it did when Adam and Eve were out there working on it. So a house divides up like this. It takes 50% labor and 50% material. There can be a little bit of variation in that, but it's not going to be very much. Now, a question arises as to your capabilities. Now, my wife built this house that I'm in right now. She built this from 1968 to 71, 3 years, 36 months. It's 4,000 feet, 2,000 in the basement. 40 by 50 feet is what it is. 40 feet wide, 50 feet long, 2,000 feet on two floors plus the attic. Now, the attic's for storage, and there's a little storage space. There's 2,000 square feet of storage space up there, but, you know, you don't count that in the square footage of a house, but she's got a 4,000-foot house here. And the building materials in 1968 cost her $7,000, $7,000 1968 dollars, which today, you know, multiply that times 6, 7, 8, something like that, and it would be $40,000. If you went to build this house today, I would estimate around $50,000 worth of building materials will go into the project. Then you need about $50,000 to pay the labor to get it built. And you'd have about a $100,000 house that you would turn around and sell it for $200,000 with one mark in it. Now, my wife, at the time she built this, the same ratios were in place then as they are today. So the $7,000 was actually pretty darn cheap. It should have been about double that, but here's what she did. She bought almost all used materials. And the way she did that, she bought three houses that had been condemned and were earmarked for demolition. Then she went up to Seymour and hired a crew of Amish to go up and take these houses apart, load them on trucks, and haul it down here to the farm. And they stacked it out on the tennis court and then inventoried the windows, doors, boards, just inventoried everything they had. Then she drew up the plans for the house based upon the inventory that she had. Now, she did have to go out and buy some things. She bought two Anderson windows that are up in the kitchen. And then she bought some 2x12s that went into the subfloor between the basement and the first floor. But almost everything that came out of these three houses was used in the construction of this one big house. And the total cash out of pocket was $7,000. Now, she and her husband worked for 3 years to construct this by themselves. They had a little bit of outside help. Jimmy Wallace came over and poured the cement in the basement floor, and then they had a couple guys come in here, you know, and do this and that and another thing. But primarily, they built it, and they did it with a time life book. Time life. You know, the people that write Reader's Digest, you know, and time books and life and so on, they write other books, and one of them was How to Build a House. You can get plans and you can get advice and things like that from Mother Earth News and others. But that's what they did. And when they got through, they owned the house free and clear. Never paid a dime. She said to me, she said every nail was paid. Or paid for before we drove it. Every nail was paid before we drove it. Now, she learned that from her daddy. Her daddy taught her, do not pay interest. I heard that. I heard the old-timers tell me never pay interest. But see, I went to public school, and my ag teachers, you know, like Mr. Barmettler and others, they said, oh, no, no. That's a mistake. See, you should leverage your money. We've got FDIC. Things are different now than they were in the old days. These old people don't know what they're talking about. Listen to us. We went to college. And so I did. I listened to all the paid professionals, just like people do today. They listen to all the paid professionals and then die from cancer. And you listen to all the paid professionals and die poor. Your house is being foreclosed on. You're losing your job, and you don't know what to do about it. And you're the proximate cause of your own injury. You did it to yourself. But you were encouraged to do this. The bankers, the media, mom and dad, school teachers, college professors, they all told you, hey, this is the way to do it. Now, I tested this. I was in the real estate business for quite a few years, and I leveraged and I paid interest and usury. And when I got all through, I didn't have any profit. I was flat-ass broke. And I couldn't figure out why. Well, it's understandable. I couldn't count. Here's the problem you have if you were going to look up a word. You see, if you want to know what the definition of a word is, you've got to be able to spell it. If you cannot spell, you can't look the word up in the dictionary, so therefore you could never figure out what the definition of the word is. You don't know what it means. Now, if you can't count, you can't do the arithmetic. If you can't do the arithmetic, you can't compute the problem. You can never come to a conclusion or a solution to the problem. So I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings and rain on your parade, but that's where reality's at. So when we go to public school here in the United States, first thing they do is they teach us how to read by sight reading instead of by phonics. Now, phonics is the code to our language. Look and say is not. And that's why you can't read. You want to know why Johnny can't read? He never learned the code. The code is contained in phonics. So if you didn't learn to read by way of phonics, then you can't read. I know you're going to sit there and say, oh, yes, I can. Well, oh, no, you can't. As evidenced by the fact that when you people go into court, you plead not guilty. It's pretty obvious that you don't understand the ramifications of a not guilty plea. I know, you've been watching Perry Mason. I don't deny it. But you people don't seem to understand what the deception is. See, we want you to plead not guilty because the minute you plead not guilty, you can't win from that point on. Hey, we want you to put 10% down and pay 5 or 6% interest. That point on, I can't lose and you can't win. And when you get through, honest to God, you'll believe that you made a profit when you lost your hiney. Hey, that's the way the game is played. So you might as well learn how it's done. If you want to learn how to read, we teach reading. If you want to learn how to count, we teach counting. Now, that's the story of my wife and her house. And she's living in a house just like Henry Moore, bought and paid for, doesn't pay any payments on it. And that's why our lifestyle here doesn't require that we make $100,000 a year. See, the guy making $100,000 a year in Hartford, Connecticut, as a real estate broker or something like that, he's making payments of $1,711 a month. He has to make $100,000 a year in order to support that kind of a lifestyle. I don't need that. I can have the same leftover net mad money and make 60% less. So it's just to decide, you know, you have to decide, well, how do I want to do this? Now, my brother's saving silver. I don't care whether it's silver or you're saving beehives or cows or whatever it is you want to save or you want to deal in. As long as you're dealing in real substance, you can actually come out with increase. Now, most people don't want increase. They want profit. Now, there's another neat little deal over here that my wife did. Let me tell you this story. One day, she was talking to a lady, and this lady had a house, and the house, it was a distressed property. It was beat up and dirty. It was a pretty good size house. It's an old house, and it's about 2,000 square feet, tad over. And this lady wanted to sell it, and my wife said, "Well, come over and take a look at this, Georgie, and tell me if this house is worth what she wants." She wanted 30,000 Federal Reserve Note dollars for it. So I went over and looked at the house, and I said, "Well, this house needs about $30,000 worth of materials to go into it in order to bring it up to a turnkey operation. You know, by the time you replace the roof and put in new carpet and rewire it and replumb it and do all the work that needs to be done on it," I said, "you're going to be in it another 30. So you're going to buy it for 30, and it's going to cost you 30 to fix it. That's 60. Then the question arises, well, what is this house going to be worth if it was tricked out? All right, and the answer is $70 a square foot. $100 new, $70 used. So let's take 2,000 square feet times $70 a square foot. It's worth $140,000. So would you spend $60,000, invest $60,000, into a house that you expect to sell for $140,000. Now, in order to find out what this house is going to sell for, you just go to a real estate broker. You could go to an appraiser, but typically the real estate salesman, I like the salesman because, see, they're selling these houses every day. So when you say to the guy, "Hey, come on here and take a look at this house." Now, let's imagine this house. It's got a certificate of occupancy, and we've got all the permits signed off. It's rewired, replumbed, re-roofed, repainted, new carpets. Hey, this thing is tricked out. It's got new cabinets and the whole nine yards. What would this house sell for out there in the marketplace today? And they'll tell you in your neighborhood, hey, this is what this thing is going to sell for. Now, I would think that, you know, if you could buy a house for 60, you know, and fix it up, and then sell it for 140, how long is it going to take you to do that? Well, if it took you 1 year, you would double your money. 60 and 60 is 120. So you would double your money in 1 year, wouldn't you? That's 100%. Now, if you want to be a very astute investor, go out and buy Walmart stock, hang on to it for a year, make 5% profit, and everybody will tell you you're the smartest thing that God ever put breath into. I mean, they'll think that you're real, real sharp. Now, I frankly, if you said to me, would you invest your money in this project for 5%? And I would tell you plainly, I wouldn't get out of bed for 5%. But, you know, other people out there, you know, they've got their things in life and they make 5% a year and they think they're real smart. I think that you should make 100% per annum. That's my thinking on the matter. And I get that by breeding cattle. See, I breed two cows together and they produce a calf. And so every year I get a calf. And so when you do that every 2 years, you know your herd doubles. And this doubling is called geometric progression. And if you're doubling every 2 years, that's 50% a year. That's pretty good. That's better than 5%. Now, I think you can do a little better than that. I think, you know, if you get out there and you hustle a little bit. Now, sheep, they breed and they reproduce every year. You got 50 sheep, you know, next year you're going to have 100, and the year after you're going to have 200, and the year after that you're going to have 4. And those sheep are good. I don't think they're as good as cows because you got lots of losses in there, and damn coyotes and bears eat them, and, you know, and one thing and another. But nevertheless, if you could keep them alive, you know, they really produce. Well, listen, if you could buy a house like this house over here, she said, how long would it take you to trick this out? And I said, well, I need a helper because I'm getting old. See, when I was 30, 40 years old, I could have remodeled that house by myself. But now, at my age, I need a helper. I'd have to put a helper over there with me, and I'd probably have to pay him $10,000-$15,000 to help me do the job. But I could turn it out in 90 days. 90 days I could turn that house out. As old as I am. So, I said, you go ahead and buy the house for $30,000, and you go over to Denny, and order the stuff. I'll write you up a list and have them deliver it. And we'll put the stuff in. We'll plumb it and wire it and roof it and do all the stuff that needs to be done. Put the carpet in. So when we get through with it, you'll be ready to sell it. How long is it going to take to sell? Ask your real estate broker, how long do you think it'll be on the market in order for it to sell? Most of the time when you're remodeling a house, or not remodeling so much as renovating the house, remodeling tends to say we're moving walls around in it and adding rooms on and things like that, sticking a dormer or two on it. I try to stay away from that and just concentrate on paint and carpet. You get more return out of paint and carpet than anything else you put in. And he'll tell you, well, it'll be on the market for 3 months, 6 months, 2 months, 90 days. I've had houses sell before I had them finished. Oftentimes. No, not every time, but oftentimes, 10-15% of the time, you'll sell it before you even get it finished. Or, you know, not too long after you finish it, you'll close the deal. And that'll give you a little bit more. But here again, all you need to do is double your money every year, and you're going to be way ahead of Warren Buffett, George Soros, Bill Gates. All right, try that. Now, this lady... My wife asked her, well, would you like us to pay you in gold? And she said, no. My God, I got to have real money. I don't want to be paid in gold. So my wife said, well, how do you want to be paid? And she said, well, I got to have, money, $100 bills. So my wife said, okay, here's what I'll do. I can't give you $30,000 in $100 bills, but I could give you $5,000 a year for 6 years. $5,000 a year for 6 years. Lady said, that sounds like a pretty good deal. So my wife took the house, gave her $5,000, and then every year she gave. Now, my wife took the $30,000 at the time. I think gold was about 400 or 500 an ounce. I've forgotten now, but she took the amount of gold. She put it in a coffee can. This is the way we keep books here, coffee cans. And she put the gold into the coffee cans. Let's say the gold's worth $600. That's half what it is today. And a $30,000 deal divided by $600, 50 ounces. She stuck 50 ounces of gold into the can. Now, every year in February when this note comes due, it's an annual payment, $5,000. She goes in there. She takes out enough gold to go in and get the $5,000 in Federal Reserve notes, brings it out. Now, the contract is written up in payment in gold. That's kind of important because of Title 31, Section 5112. But the lady actually wants to get paid in $100 bills. I thought it was a bad mistake on her part. But, you know, she went to the public school system. She can't count either. And I know she's going to get real mad. If she could count and figure this out, she'd get real mad and say, well, you dirty, low-down Jew, you're screwing me. And I'd say, look, why are you blaming the Jews because they can count and you can't? I mean, it's not my fault. So don't get mad at me. And we ask her, you know, do you want to get paid in gold? She said, no, 1,000 times no. So, you know, this lady's been to college and she knows how she wants to get paid. So now what's going to happen is at the end of the 6 years, 5 years, in this case, I think it's 5 or 6, she's gonna be losing because the price of gold now doubled. So now my annual payment's half what it was, you know, a couple of years ago, when the price was at $600. So as the price of gold goes up, then the purchasing power of the Federal Reserve note goes down. This lady, in the final analysis, my estimate is going to get paid $15,000 for the house, measured in gold coin. She's going to take a haircut for 50 cents on the dollar in purchasing power because she took Fed notes instead of gold coin. And my wife is going to buy the house for half price, which is going to multiply her profit. It isn't going to change the $30,000 that she needs to fix the house. I mean, that's pretty well cast in cement. It's distressed. It needs a lot of work. And I know how to do that work. And you know, I know how to sweat, and I know how to cut boards, and I know how to wire, and I know how to put in light fixtures. But you can learn how to do that too, you know. And here's the moral to my story. There are distressed houses everywhere that you can buy dirt cheap. I read an article in Reader's Digest. A guy in Fort Worth, Texas, bought a house in Detroit for $3,500 and sold it in less than 7 days for $24,000. That's just buying distressed property, fixing them up, getting them on the market, and selling them. If that guy can do it, can't you? I mean, you people are unemployed and wondering what you're going to do next. Hey, listen, why don't we go to work and start renovating houses? Instead of buying houses for $200,000 and selling them for $4,000, why don't we buy them for $3,500 and sell them for $25,000? Now, you need a house to live in. Why don't you go buy one of these beat-up houses and go fix the house up yourself? It's already built. All you got to do is put in the carpet and the drapes and you know, maybe have to wire it. You can get a Time Life book and do that. You can learn. Make sure that every nail that you drive is paid for when you put it in. It'll take you about 3 years to do that. And in the next program, I'm going to show you how to save the money off of the job that you have right now to build your own house in the next 3 years. That's next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, I'm about out of time, so I got to give you a reminder here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I got to leave it right there. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And...